Hello and welcome to The Mashup, your number one source for sports gaming and everything in between. I am your host, Jake Patterson, and we got a lot of shit to talk about, so let's just jump right in. And obviously, you could tell by the intro what we're starting off with. I feel much better about how the Orioles lost to the Rangers now, because it wasn't just luck. The Rangers just kind of did that to everyone. Just had massive innings left, right, and center. Their bullpen remembered how to close out games. And they did it. They are World Series champions, and Bruce Bochy has entered an elite club of baseball managers as one of the handful to win a fourth World Series title with, I think, three different teams. Yeah, because he won two with the Giants, he won one with somebody else, and this one with the Rangers. Who was his other one? Because I know he won two with the Giants. He won two with the Giants. Where was the other one he won? Professional career, managing careers. Here we go. One World Series. He won three with San Francisco? Oh, yeah. 2010, 2012, 2014. That was that streak of... in odd numbered years they suck, in even numbered years they're going to make you suck it. And then they were kind of terrible for his last 3 years there. But that was that whole stretch of time of like, oh, they're gonna absolutely kick your ass in even numbered years, and in odd numbered years they will might not even make the playoffs. But yeah, he got his fourth World Series, which, again, very elite club to be in. And I do have to say congrats to the Rangers. They beat the crap out of the Orioles fair and square. They went 11-0 on the road in the playoff, which is unheard of. That's never been done before. And it was a really freaking good story. And even that dumbass commissioner, Rob Manfred, could not ruin it. No matter how hard he tried. Well, sure, would I much rather live in the timeline where it was Orioles-Phillies in the World Series and it went to seven games and the Orioles won and I'm in Baltimore probably tomorrow night? Tomorrow afternoon, partying it up at the first Orioles World Series parade since before I was born. Yes, but you know, I can stomach a Rangers win. It's not as bad as basically any other American League team that would have knocked the Orioles out, because the Rangers were just such a good story. Like they were good for most of the year. Kind of fell off in late July, were downright terrible through most of August, were barely holding on, got good again at exactly the right time, and went on a historic postseason tear we may never see again. So, yeah, shout out to the Rangers, shout out to Creed, and now we wait. And now we wait, 3 months for pitchers and catchers to report again when it's really freaking cold here in Maryland. And most of the current Orioles stars, since they are pitchers or catchers, are just hanging out in Florida where it's nice and warm. And I'm still up here freezing my ass off. Ugh. Anyway, that's baseball. Wanted to acknowledge the World Series champs to kick off the show, but not even gonna do a segment break here. Let's just dive headfirst into some college football, because we got the first playoff committee ranking of the season, and it is absolute shit. Like, this might be the worst initial playoff top 25 I have ever seen. Ohio State is not the best team in the country. Michigan should not be number three. We'll get into the cheating thing, but product on the field as it stands right now, Michigan is the best team in the country. Now, if all of this cheating stuff reveals that they have been cheating basically the entire time Jim Harbaugh's been coach, and they're not actually all that good, then I will retract my statement. But as it stands right now, they're better than three. They're better than number three. Honestly, they are probably, they're at the very least better than Georgia, and I think they're better than Ohio State. Like, as it stands right now, ignoring the rampant accusations of cheating. Because now we got this low-level staffer who apparently snuck onto the sidelines of Central Michigan when they were playing against Michigan State. Which, when was that game? Because I don't actually know when that game was, because Michigan State hasn't been all that good this year. Okay, that was the first week of the season. So, this guy, Connor Stallions, was he just on the sideline at Central Michigan at the beginning of the season, stealing all of Michigan State's signs? Because, you know, look, Michigan won that game 49-0. They are more talented than Michigan State. They don't need to cheat to beat them. Michigan State are 2-6 overall. Their only wins coming against Central Michigan and FCS team Richmond. Those are their only two wins. Like, they got their asses kicked by Maryland, who, that contributed to that September Maryland hype that happens every single freaking year. Also, Maryland, don't get any funny ideas. Don't get any funny ideas about stealing Chadwell away from Liberty. Because you deep down are a basketball school. Just focus on giving Kevin Willard whatever he needs. Because you don't need to take Richie McKay away anymore. You have Kevin Willard. But stay far away from Jamie Chadwell. You too, Clemson. I've seen some of your fans talking on Twitter. You stay far away from Jamie Chadwell. That man told his wife that this was their last move while the kids are still in school, and their kids are very young. So don't go making that man break his promise and breaking the hearts of an entire fan base again. Like, you're going to break the heart of someone's fan base when you hire their coach away. But, like a Lance Leipold. But, which will suck for Kansas, because they are a great story, and Lance Leipold is a very good coach. But he also deserves to be at a school that gives a shit about football, and Kansas just doesn't. So, if Harbaugh does get canned after all of this, like, it comes out in the investigations that he was involved. Like, I don't know what's worse. What's worse in that situation? Did he know or did he not know? Because both are bad. Like, if he did not know that some random staffer who works for him was going to opposing teams' games and stealing their signs and reporting back to the other members of the staff, if he didn't know that, that's just as bad as if it was on his orders. Like, if it was his direction to this guy to say, all right, go to the teams we're playing against, watch their sidelines, and steal their signs. Also, shout out to Jamie Chadwell for making the very funny joke about that. I want to say last week at Western Kentucky, when there was a random Michigan fan at a Tuesday night CUSA game in Bowling Green, Kentucky. That was actually a thing. There was a guy in the crowd wearing Michigan blue at Western Kentucky. And if you didn't know, Western Kentucky and Liberty are both red. A dude wearing blue and yellow is going to stand out in the crowd at that particular matchup. It's not like you were playing a team that primarily wears blue and you can blend in.
Yeah, it was
two teams who both wear a whole lot of red. But yeah, this Michigan thing is an absolute mess. These playoff committee rankings are pretty freaking terrible. Like, these are some... Like, honestly, I think right now Florida State is better than Georgia. Because Georgia hasn't looked all that good this year. And, like, they're still 8-0. They've beaten the crap out of everybody they played, but they haven't played anybody. Like, I know that whatever happened at Vanderbilt was because Brock Bowers got injured, and I'm still salty about that because I would have won like $700 if they had managed to cover the spread against Vandy, but $700 that I really could have used because it, you know, look at the calendar. But yeah. Gonna be an interesting last couple weeks of the season because there are five teams who are 8-0. Several more who are 7-1. How many more? Oregon, Texas, Atlanta, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Penn State, Mizzou, Kentucky. Let me count that again because I think that's 8. Oregon, Texas, Alabama, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Penn State, Mizzou, Louisville. Yeah. That's 8 teams who are 7-1. That is the top 13 are either undefeated or have one loss. So, yeah, even in a 12-team playoff, one of these 7-1 teams would not make it because as it stands right now, Tulane would have to get a spot in the CFP. Despite being ranked 24th, which I'm not complaining, like the G5 does deserve some representation, they're also 7-1. So, but technically, Louisville would not make it because they are 13th. Missouri would also not make it because their spot is 12th, would go to the highest ranked G5 champion, aka Tulane. Because they're probably going to win the AAC title anyway. Because, actually, the AAC is actually reasonably okay, but they're 7-1. They're clearly better than everyone else in that league. So, like, as it stands right now, that's what would happen. Is Louisville would miss out, and so would Mizzou. And your college football playoff would be Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, and Florida State all have byes. So that means Washington would then play Tulane. Oregon would play Penn State. Texas would play Ole Miss. So freaking close. And Alabama would play Oklahoma. That would be your college football playoff this year with the current rankings if we were to expand to 12. That's what the playoff would look like if this ranking somehow held all the way through the end of next season. So that's your interesting little CFP breakdown. As it stands right now, obviously Georgia-Michigan would be the much better game, I think. because it's the 2-3. I think you'd get a good playoff out of this top four. They're just in the wrong order. Because I think Michigan is still capable of beating Ohio State even without cheating. But you never really know in college football. Weird shit happens every Saturday. I expect some weird shit to happen this week. Actually, looking at the slate, maybe now that Tech remembered they are a football school, they might pull the... No, that's a road game. They aren't pulling the upset on Louisville. Tulane, East Carolina, Penn State, Maryland. Maryland are terrible, and number 11 Penn State is only an 8-point favorite. Maybe Vegas knows something that we don't there. Iowa State's actually favored over Kansas, but it's only 2.5. It is a home game. Kansas is coming off maybe the biggest win in the history of their program. Michigan's playing Purdue. That should be a cakewalk for them. Bama's playing LSU, which could get interesting just because of what happened between Bama and LSU last year, even though this game is in Tuscaloosa. And, like, the chaos of last year was partially because they were at Tiger Stadium. They were at LSU. But that game always provides some chaos. I would love to see LSU go into Tuscaloosa and win and just ruin Alabama's hopes of sneaking into the playoff despite Nick Saban's random bitching like last year. Despite them being a two-loss team that didn't even make the SEC championship game, he said, "We deserve a shot at the playoff." No, you don't, Nick. No, you don't. You're not as good as you were anymore. The Bama dynasty is over. Like, the fact that they're ranked even as low as 8th this late in the season is proof that the Bama dynasty is over. So is Clemson, because they are completely unranked. Like, the Clemson dynasty is done. Like, they're playing Notre Dame at noon. They have a home game against Notre Dame, and it's in the noon slot. Notre Dame is a 3-point favorite. Just a few years ago, could you imagine a world where Clemson is a home dog against Notre Dame? Like, if I told any college football fan just a few years ago, just going back to the 2019 season, I said, in 2023, the number 15 Notre Dame Fighting Irish will go to Clemson, South Carolina as a 3-point favorite. Say nothing about Clemson. Say nothing about the fact that they're 4-4 and 10th in the ACC. Say nothing about Clemson's record at all. Just say Notre Dame is ranked 15 and they are heading into Clemson as a 3-point favorite. You would think I was insane. Just 4 years ago, just saying that in 2019 would sound like pure comedy. Because in 2019, everyone thought, oh, Georgia and Bama are just going to dominate college football for like the next decade. Then 2020 happened. Then NIL happened immediately after that. And that kind of just like bumped up Georgia and a whole lot of other teams. That bumped up like the Georgias, the Michigans, the Ohio States of the world. When they have younger coaches who can adapt to the concept of NIL, when you have someone like Nick Saban who detests the entire concept and doesn't want to adapt and is losing players to the transfer portal and is not able to get the same NIL deals, which is insane. It's still Bama. Like, they still have rich donors. It's just, it evened the playing field because it's what the big programs were already doing under the table. But now that everyone can do it openly, whoops. everyone can do it openly and no one cares. I mean, some people are still mad about it, but no one really cares what you're doing. You can't get in trouble for it anymore. But yeah, I expect a few decent games this weekend. Liberty's homecoming game against Louisiana Tech should also be fun, purely from my point of view. Because, you know, like, it's the first Saturday home game for Liberty in, what, 2 months? Yeah, because their last Saturday game was September 23rd. And that was a road game, as was the week before. So they haven't had a home game since September 9th. This game's going to be on November 4th. They haven't had a home game in 2 months on a Saturday. A Saturday home game in 2 months. Because Sam Houston and Middle Tennessee were both home games, but they were on a Thursday and a Tuesday. And they were very stressful. So hopefully a real Saturday home game with the homecoming crowd, 6 o'clock kick. It's probably going to be really freaking cold in Lynchburg. Let's see, what's the weather looking like for Lynchburg, Virginia at 6 on Saturday in general? Oh, 69 degrees. That's actually not awful. But if I know Lynchburg weather, yep, there it is. There it is. What time sunset? 6:15. And the overnight temperature is a low of 41 degrees. Yeah, that's the Lynchburg I know. It's November. That temperature is going to plummet when the sun goes down. But yeah, I'm expecting some good games this weekend. I think Liberty will hopefully get a comfortable win against a not great Louisiana Tech team. And I just want some chaos within the top 25. I kind of want Washington to just show off against USC's absolutely terrible defense and make a case for why they deserve to be in the top four. Because, you know, I want someone new. And I don't think they've made the CFP yet. If they have, they didn't do anything. Let's see. Teams who have made CFP. Let's see, college football playoff. Teams who have actually made it every year. Does it? Here we go. Let's see. First year, Oregon, Florida State, Ohio State, Bama, Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, Michigan State, Alabama. Oh, Washington did make it. They got their asses kicked by Bama in 2016. I knew they had made it once before, but yeah, they did make it. They lost 24-7 against Bama at the Peach Bowl. Clemson also beat the crap out of Ohio State that year. Good Lord. Yeah. So they have only made it once and they got destroyed. I don't think that will happen this year. Should they make it with Michael Penix as quarterback? I just want him to show off. Because if this season has proven anything, it's that USC's defense is really bad. Like, Oregon held Utah to 6 points. USC gave up 34. And USC was the home team. Oregon was on the road. They hadn't won in Salt Lake in a long time, and they held Utah to 6 points while they put up 35 of their own. So yeah, I just want Michael Penix to show off against USC. That would be incredible. That would be so much fun. I would be so here for that. But yeah. Look at, actually, now that I've looked at it multiple times, it's actually looking like a halfway decent slate this weekend, because like, you're gonna get some of the really good teams just showing off. Like, Florida State's gonna absolutely mollywop Pitt. Like, there's no doubt in my mind about that. Like, Oregon's gonna put a stomping on Cal. Washington against USC is just gonna be like a freaking gun show. Because Washington doesn't have a great defense, but they sure have a better defense than USC. And I think they're gonna, Washington's only favored by 3. I think that's an insult. I think they will cover that by a lot more. Like, I think they win by at least 2 touchdowns, because USC just has no defense. They're not going to be able to do anything against Washington's offensive weapons. They're just too good. But that's my big takeaway for this weekend, is hammer Washington -3, because they are going to cover. But that's what I got for college football. Up next, we'll switch gears and talk some NFL. It's coming up next. You're on The Mashup. Hey, do you really like The Mashup and want to help support it even more?
Of course I do. You're so awesome.
Well, do I have good news for you. I now have a Barstool Sports Store affiliate link.
Oh, what the heck is that?
An affiliate link is a link that takes you directly to the Barstool Store, but has some extra coding in it to let them know that I sent you, so I get some of the money from the sale in return.
That's so cool.
Yes, it is, and it helps me put out better and better content for you.
And maybe does enough to get Barstool's attention that they'll give me a job.
All you have to do is go to barstool-sports.pxf.io/themashup. That's barstoolsports.pxf.io/themashup, and get some merch. Doesn't matter what you get, you'll be supporting me and The Mashup. And you get a cool t-shirt, hoodie, flag, or whatever else you want in return. So go to barstoolsports.pxf.io/themashup today and help me grow this podcast even more. So we're sticking to football. Let's talk some NFL. And the main thing I really want to talk about with the NFL is this massive freaking trade that the Commanders pulled off. Like, they traded Montez Sweat and then immediately traded Chase Young to the 49ers. Did the Niners really need to get better, Washington? Did they really need another absolute beast of a defender? Good Lord. I mean, actually, maybe they did, because they've been on a bit of a losing streak. 3 in a row, which seemed unprecedented for them at the beginning of the season, considering what they did to the Cowboys before their first loss. And then, you know, they went and lost to the Browns on a fluke. Lost to the Vikings somehow on Monday Night Football, which is hilarious in and of itself. And then this past week, they went and lost to the Bengals at home, which is concerning, because I don't like the fact that the Bengals are starting to remember that they're supposed to be good at football. Yeah, hopefully in a couple weeks, the Ravens will put them back in their place, because I don't care what your obnoxious, entitled, Karen-ass fans say, Bengals, until you prove otherwise, you're still the fucking Bungles, and the North belongs to the Ravens. All your racist Lamar's not a quarterback bullshit is just that. Racist bullshit. But speaking of bullshit, I mostly want this segment to be a plea to Commanders fans. Do not fall for anything Josh Harris is trying to sell you. As long as he owns your team, you will forever be almost there. Forever. Like, trust the process was a load of shit from the very beginning. Trust the process means hoard a bunch of draft picks, draft maybe one good player with them, waste all the others, and that one good player will be in a position that needs support, especially in football, because one good player can't completely change an entire team. You need other players. One good player can help, but he's not going to completely turn your team around. Trust the process is, like, look at the Sixers. Most of you are probably Wizards fans. Just look at the Sixers. That is the Commander's destiny, is to forever be that. Since it's football, you'll have more players. You'll have maybe three good players whose talents are forever getting wasted by the incompetent yes men of a man who doesn't give a fuck about sports. Because Josh Harris doesn't actually give a shit about sports. This is the moron who thought he could buy the Mets and put the Mets and the Sixers on the same TV channel, and that wouldn't massively piss off both fan bases. Like, you think Sixers fans wouldn't be watching their team and see commercials for the Mets and vice versa? Like, you think some Sixers fan wants to be watching a late season game and see a commercial for, hey, Mets season is almost here? No, they're all Phillies fans. And if this man doesn't get the fact that New York and Philadelphia fans don't like each other, he's not going to be able to competently run a team. Look at the Sixers. Like, I have completely abandoned them. I became a fan of them before I became a fan of the Flyers, and I have completely abandoned the Sixers. Because it's just not worth it. It's just endless, oh, we're right there, and never doing anything about it. Commanders fans, do not fall for the lies. Do not fall for the trust the process crap this man is going to try to sell you. It means nothing. Because what will happen is you'll sign a couple free agents, you'll get really close, and all your homegrown developed guys will really get along really well with this new free agent. They'll become like best friends, have all the potential to win a championship together, but instead, the idiot puppets that Josh Harris dares call a front office decide, no, we're gonna overpay a Walmart version of that free agent instead, and just completely kick him to the curb and let him go form his own team with a rival that will outperform us in every way imaginable, despite not having as much talent on paper. And yes, I have abandoned the Sixers, but I'm still incredibly salty about the reason why I chose to. Because I invested 3 years into the freaking process. I invested 3 years of rooting for this team to absolutely suck to get some of the good prospects that were coming out of college in those few years. They got exactly one of them. His name's Joel Embiid. And he has no help. The 1 year he did have help, Jimmy Butler, they decided to instead choose Tobias Harris and pay him the money they should have given Jimmy Butler. Oh my God. And they signed locker room cancer incarnate James Harden. He helped a little bit, then, as he does every year, fell off a freaking cliff in the playoffs, again leaving Joel Embiid with no help. And of course, Embiid completely forgets he's good at basketball when he somehow locks eyes with that asshole Al Horford. Ugh, this was supposed to be about the NFL, but listen to my voice, Commanders fans. Dan Snyder was a piece of shit human being, and your team was better off without him as owner. But the false hope that Josh Harris sells to the fans of the teams he owns is just as bad in terms of from a fan perspective. Dan Snyder, terrible owner, terrible human being. Josh Harris is just a terrible owner. but he will give you just enough false hope to keep taking your money. He will give you just enough of a tiny little crumb of false hope every single season to keep you around until you finally, until it's been almost 10 years of trusting the process and you have one consistent Pro Bowler to show for it and a bunch of like dollar store bargain bin free agents because your team's so poorly run, you can't attract good ones. And the one time you did attract a good one, you pissed him off so much, you ruined the chance of attracting any other good free agent. So yeah, Commanders fans, don't believe the lies Josh Harris is going to try to sell you. He will only be slightly better than Dan Snyder because the only thing he won't have that Dan Snyder did is he will replace, you know, general crimes against humanity with consistent false hope. Like, he will still be a terrible owner who only gives a shit about your money, but he's just going to be even more manipulative in trying to get it. Because Dan Snyder was just an asshole. I'm trying to figure out how to word this, because obviously, the Commanders are better off without Dan Snyder as an owner. Josh Harris is just not that much of an improvement. He's a better person, no doubt in my mind. That's about it. He's still a terrible owner. He's still going to make you miserable. You're still going to be screaming, sell the team at him. Because I've seen plenty of sell the team signs at the Wells Fargo Center for Sixers games. And they are roommates with the Flyers, who definitely need to be sold. So, take from that what you will, Commanders fans. Don't buy into the false hope. You're gonna waste 7 years constantly stressing about what this team is doing, only to be disappointed every single January. It will happen every year without fail. You will be you will make the playoffs and then the team will fall flat on their freaking face every single year. That is what the process is. You'll have an average at best coach. You'll attract like maybe three, scaling it up for football. You'll attract maybe three good free agents who will immediately get pissed off and go somewhere else. And then ruin your chances of signing any other good free agents. That's just how it's going to go. And if anyone wants to move to this particular part of the country, they will go to the Ravens, which is what they do already. So Commanders fans, as your brother from the North, I will tell you, don't fall for this man's lies. They will bring you nothing but misery. And that's what I got for the NFL. Up next, we'll get into some Call of Duty League, because season's only a month away. That announcement just came out. And what I think about the start of the Modern Warfare 3 season. It's coming up next here on the Mashup. All right, let's wrap this up with some CDL talk, which it has been a while since I have talked about the CDL on the show. I've talked about COD like as a whole, just because like we're in that part of the COD cycle where everyone's excited for the new game. Hopefully this one won't immediately disappoint me like the last two have. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. That will be a discussion for 2 weeks from now after I get my hands on the game. And we'll go from there. But the Call of Duty League announced today that the season officially begins on December 8th, which is Let's see. How many weeks is that exactly? That is exactly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That is exactly 5 weeks from the day this episode comes out. So if you're listening this on the day, if you're listening to this podcast on the day it releases, the CDL season starts in exactly 5 weeks. So why the hell do 3 of the 12 teams in this league not have their rosters announced yet? Like, we've seen the rumored rosters from Jake Hale, who has gotten the leaks. Let me go back and find them. There's Vegas's. Okay, let's open that one up. Attach Standy, Nero, and Purge is Vegas's rumored roster. And then Carolina's is not much better. Carolina is Clayster, GodRx, and Real with a unknown fourth with names like Fame and Gwyn being thrown around. So these are not going to be very good teams. And, like, who knows what the hell LAG are doing? They might not even exist. Because, you know, Stan Kroenke, who's... like, I just went on that whole rant about Josh Harris. He's even worse. But he doesn't give you the false hope. He just... you just know he sucks. But, hey, his teams actually win. Like, the Avalanche, the Rams. They actually win. So, I don't understand that, man. I know he's an angry old man who only cares about money and, like, does not care about the fans, doesn't really care about anything, just cares about their money. So, you know, there's that. But, yeah, they still have Spart signed, and that's it. So, and just looking at the CDL roster mania page on Dixerto, there is not a single mention. There is not a single mention of anything LAG are doing. The season starts in a month. What are you doing? The game comes out next week. Technically, you can play the campaign tomorrow. Like, what are you doing, LAG? The game comes out in a week. Why do you not have a roster yet? There were teams in Halo that had rosters signed a full year before Infinite dropped. Like, the original Sentinels roster with Snakebite, Frosty, like, the roster that essentially became FaZe. Was it Snakebite, Frosty, Lethal? There was one more. I totally blanked on who the other one was. Like, they're the world champions minus Renegade. I think the other one stayed behind on Sentinels. That's why I'm not remembering his name. But they had that roster announced a full year plus before Infinite dropped. Modern Warfare 3 comes out in a week, and 3 teams have not officially announced their rosters. That's a quarter of the league. That is just sad. So, Vegas, Carolina, LAG, hurry up and announce your freaking rosters. Or LAG, just sell your spot to Space Station or Complexity. Actually, I think that might be a conflict of interest now that the same parent company also owns them and FaZe. Which, I don't know what that's going to do in Halo, because they both have teams and they're both partnered. Like, I know Native has 2 rosters, but... no, sell that team to Complexity. That would be so funny. Like, sell that team to Complexity and just, like, force a rivalry between them and FaZe despite them being the same freaking company. Also, I can't wait to see this FaZe team absolutely suck, because there's no leadership. There's just none. There's no leadership. There's no IGL. There's no main AR. Like, there's nothing. That is 4 Slayers. That is four pure slayers who are just going to consistently kill whore from each other, and it's going to be beautiful. And we also have the news of the fact that they are changing the points awarded at majors. The number is going way up. Now for first place, you get 100 instead of 65. You get 75 for second, 60 for third, 45 for fourth, 30 for fifth through sixth, 15 for seventh through eighth, and zero for bottom four. Which is the same as last year, because if you finish bottom four, that means you at best went 0-1 and did not win a single game at the major, and you were just not good. And we also have the official announcement, which leaked earlier this week, of the dates and locations of all four majors for the CDL this season. Major 1, which qualifiers start on December 8th, which are online, which is still so dumb. I hate online qualifiers with a burning passion. I wish they would go away forever. Like, just have a neutral site somewhere. Like do like the OWL Arena in LA, or something similar. Where you could have regular-ass LAN matches for qualifiers, because they make things so much more interesting. They don't have to be big blowouts like the major. And then, like, you obviously make the majors feel special because they're in bigger venues with bigger crowds. Like, that's what you should do. But that is a completely different discussion for a completely different time. But the first major, last weekend of January, will be in Boston. Which, why? Why are we going to Boston at the end of January? That's such a terrible idea. Remember what happened last year, CDL? It was so freaking cold. You had to tell people not to line up too early because they would get hypothermia. And Boston, as we know it, has existed for 398 years. The first English-speaking settlers settled in Boston in 1625. It has been 398 years that English-speaking people have lived in Boston. And obviously the natives probably lived there for several centuries at minimum before that. Because, you know, like, it's on the water. People obviously lived there before the English came in and named it Boston. But still, the fact that the city of Boston, as we know it, has existed uninterrupted for 398 years... The weather has, like, never changed. It's always cold there in January. Why are we having an event in Boston in January again? You could just switch it. Boston is very nice in March. You could just switch Major 1 and 2. So we could all go to Miami in January. Go to Miami in January, go to Boston in March, go to Toronto in May, which I don't know why they keep doing Toronto, because flying into and out of Toronto sounds like an absolute nightmare, just on principle. Like, the Toronto crowds are always great, but Toronto Pearson Airport is like one of the worst airports on the planet. So why the CDL keeps going back to Toronto, I don't know, because players and talent and fans always have an impossible time getting in or out of the city. Like, 2 years in a row, I've seen on Twitter the day after the event just constant flight delays. And then last major of the year, end of June, we got the Carolina Royal Ravens hosting the last major of the year in Charlotte, North Carolina, which I am going to make every effort to be at. That's only about an eight. That's just under an 8-hour drive for me. So that is still, like, 8 hours is my absolute maximum of drivable distance. Anything further than that, I will fly. But 8 hours is a drivable distance. Obviously, if I, like, plan ahead and, like, plan my stops, there will probably be a stop in Richmond. to get food, and then make my way to make my way the rest of the way to Charlotte from there. But yeah, that's gonna be. I'm going to make every effort to be at that one because, well, one, I have what June's what the 6 month, sixth, yeah, 6 month, and it is November, so I have nearly 8 months to save up for this thing, so I think I can pull that off, and if you know, links in. Show description if you want to help with that endeavor of me actually going to this event and maybe providing some live coverage on Twitter, and if I can get a decent camera by then, maybe throwing up a YouTube vlog too. But yeah, I'm going to make every effort to be at the Charlotte Major come June. That's probably going to be a lot of fun because North Carolina crowds get surprisingly hyped for esports. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that one. I'm going to make every effort to be there. So if you're going to be there too, let me know. I'll hang out with people. But yeah, one week until the game drops, 5 weeks until the season starts, and oh yeah, the Halo 3 Nostalgia playlist drops in Infinite today. So, I'm going to be playing a lot of that over the next week on stream. Like, I will still be mixing that in with COD come next weekend. Like, next weekend's probably going to be entirely dedicated to COD, but I'm still going to mix in some of that Halo 3 Nostalgia playlist. Don't you worry, Halo fans. We are going to go right on back to 2009, and it's going to be amazing. But that's what I got for the show this week. Hope you all enjoyed. For the Halo fans, enjoy the nostalgia playlist this weekend. And for everyone else, enjoy your weekend. But that's what I got for the show this week. Until next time, peace.